2:42. They remain steadfast in prayers. Why do we pray? We're talking about congregational prayer here. The early church prayed. To be an authentic church, we must be a praying church. Acts 2:42 says prayers. It's a plural. They offered up multiple prayers before God. It is something that they did that was very important. They gathered together and they prayed. They didn't just say a prayer. They kept praying. In where there was regular times when they would gather together. We see in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. So the ninth hour, the church would gather together for prayer. They followed that Jewish custom, and they gathered publicly for congregational prayer. And so prayer was a key component, is a key component to any authentic church. And so our prayer time that we have, brothers and sisters, we get to come together and go before the throne of God. Our worship, the preaching, the prayer, we are standing before God. And our prayers, as incense goes up, ascend into the throne room of Almighty God. We have God's ear. Now this is never to be separated from individual or private prayer. And I always do a good check here is we should always be praying more fervently in our private prayers, right? That's where we go into our secret closet and we go before God alone. That's the generation of that prayer spirit, right? But you better believe it. As we come together, if we're praying in private, which we should be doing, then we come together publicly. And that's what the churches do. They pray. I can't wait to get together with my brothers and sisters and pray. Go before the throne of God and get grace to help in time of need. All kinds of prayers. We see this is part of the authentic church. The early church, they pray together regularly. The leadership prayed. How did the church learn to pray? A leadership must be committed to prayer. You know what was interesting is they did a list of ministry choices that were given to pastors. And at the very bottom, the bottom of the rung, Barna did this research a number of years ago. At the very bottom was ministry to families and prayer. Ministry to families and prayer. So we're trying to correct, we are correcting that. Ministry to families, as in the nuclear family, that should be the normal in the church, right? If you have an approach where you're ministering to families, then, and I'm talking about the nuclear family, then what about those don't fit the nuclear family? Well, if you have ministry to families, then all of the other situations, widowed, divorced, child went out of all the other deviations or just life situations that are difficult that go away from that can fit easily. Can fit easily. But if you build your church around all the exceptions, then what has happened in the modern church, you leave out ministry to families. Okay? So we have to change that, and we are, and we have to but we're kidding ourselves if we don't go after this one and prayer. At the bottom of the list is prayer. Pastors don't pray. And congregations don't pray. And prayerlessness is a tremendous sin. Why is there no power in the church? Because there's no prayer. Prayer equals the power of God. It is key. We see in Acts 6:4, servants, which many Acts 6, the beginning of the deacon ministry there, if you will, Stephen and the seven, were chosen so that the leadership could give themselves to prayer and the word. Acts 6:4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. What does leadership do? What is the priority given for leadership in a local church? Prayer and the word. Prayer and the word. Why? So they can be an example to the congregation. Prayer and the word. Prayer and the word. Acts 10:9. The next day, as they went on their journey, they drew near the city. Peter went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. So you see, they had regular times set aside to pray. And that was their example. And then they called the church to do that. So that was their regular example, right? Well, it's no wonder then, when they had a crisis, when the government usurped its role, what did the early church do? Well, they prayed. That was their habit. What do? We get on, we call our senator and all this stuff. And you know what? There's a time to be involved in all that stuff. I'm not against that. But it's only after you've spent all of your energy praying. Okay? It happens in prayer. When Peter was in prison, what did the church do? But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And we need to consider this. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and many were gathered together praying. Acts 12. They gathered in homes. They had patterns. They were used to praying together. And while we're beginning to pray together, brothers and sisters, we need to pray more. We need to pray more as family units, individuals, families, and when we gather together to have a spirit of prayer. So, this time that we have for public prayer is very important. Okay? It's in the Acts 2:42. It's essential. They were steadfast on it. They were committed to it. Very important in the public meeting of the church that there is offered up prayers as incense before the throne of God to do God's will, to bring God's will on earth as it is in heaven. To call down God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, who prays? Who prays? 1 Corinthians 11. Don't everybody agrees in the family integrated church family movement on this application? I look at 1 Corinthians 11, 4 and 5. I say men and women pray in the public meeting of the church. That is an out loud prayer. Praying out loud, Psalm 5, early you will hear my voice. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. For that is one and the same as if she were shaved. So 1 Corinthians 11, public meeting of the church. What's the context? Public meeting of the church. What do we have happening in the public meeting of the church? We have men and women praying. So, and if it wasn't for that, we probably would only have the men praying because of the 1 Corinthians 14, which we're going to get to that a little later. So our application, who prays? Men and women, by extension children, the women. So we come together, we submit our hearts to God, we desire to pray by faith before the throne room of God. Brothers and sisters, let's stand in the presence of God. Let's stand up, and this is the time that we have as a congregation to pray. 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So the text says that the men are to lead in that prayer, and we have men leading in prayer here, amen? And we want to continue to do that. Lifting up holy hands. So what is the posture of prayer? Lifting up hands. I know we don't like to do that, but the praying posture in the church, at least in the early church, was very common for them to lift up hands. So at least everybody try it. There, you did it. All right? Okay? Not a big deal. It's perfectly legitimate to do that. Lifting up holy hands, praying in faith. Let's pray.